So if all the fundamental concepts, if all the principal practices of Buddhism are, as it were, restated in terms of lay life, so that the lay person also can practice them at home, at the office, in the factory, just as the monk, or almost just as the monk, practices in the monastery, then the lay Buddhist will have been brought very much closer to Buddhism itself, and even, of course, really closer to the monastic community too. We'll find, I'm sure, that the lay person will become more active and also will play a more responsible role. We can in fact see this happening, or beginning to happen, even in the East. It has been a feature of Buddhist life and Buddhist work in the East, perhaps for 30 or 40 or more years past, that the Buddhist layman, in some cases, or at least in certain individual cases, has come to play a much more active part than he ever did in the past. In the past, by the past I mean any time before the beginning of this century, the Buddhist layman had very, very little part to play at all. You hardly heard of a prominent Buddhist layman as a Buddhist, certainly not in the Southeast Asian countries, unless he was a king and making munificent endowments and that sort of thing. Otherwise you didn't hear of him at all. But it has been quite a feature in a small way of Buddhist life and Buddhist work in the Asian Buddhist countries in this century, that lay people have taken an increasingly active part. One very active, very prominent Eastern lay Buddhist whom we here know quite well, a very prominent, very good example of the sort of thing I'm talking about, is of course Dr. Malala Sekera, the High Commissioner for Ceylon in this country. One can even say that Dr. Malala Sekera in Ceylon is probably better known even than any monk, which is a state of affairs which simply would not have been possible 100 or 200 years ago. But it is a sign of the times. There aren't many like him, but there are a few, and it is significant. Now, if one has one's lay Buddhists more closely integrated into the Buddhist movement, more active and more responsible, then what will happen is that lay society, secular society as a whole, that is non-Buddhist life, will tend to be infiltrated more and more. The monk, after all, is a rather prominent figure. He can't sort of infiltrate without people knowing anything about it, because his robe at least gives him away at once, and people are on their guard. But in the case of the lay Buddhist, if he's quite consciously well integrated into the Buddhist movement, if he has a definite role, a definite responsibility, well, he may be sitting quiet at his desk at the office in his blue suit or grey suit, and no one will know that he's a Buddhist, and he just sits there grimly sort of waiting his opportunity, thinking, well, they don't know, but anyway, never mind. So that even in the course of discussion, in the course of conversation, he may be dropping little hints, little ideas, not because he's doing it deliberately, but because he can't help it, which tends to point in the direction of Buddhism. And one day someone will say to him, your way of looking at things seems quite interesting. What makes you think like that? So his heart would give a sort of thump, and he'll think to himself, well, now the moment has come, this is it. So he'll say, wiping the sweat from his brow, he'll say, well, to tell the truth, I'm a Buddhist. Now by that time, of course, they will have got used to his ideas, and they won't be too much shocked, and he looks normal, looks ordinary after all. So he is acceptable, and his ideas are acceptable. But many people, I mean, quite frankly, fight shy, are people who appear ostensibly religious, especially when they wear a religious robe and so on, and one doesn't get the chance of getting near to them. But the lay person can. As I said, the lay person, especially the committed lay Buddhist, can infiltrate much better. This sort of topic, this sort of question, I remember came up last week when we had our question and answer meeting. And when replying to a question, I did make the point that we needed a sort of third order, a sort of order of committed lay people, intermediate between the vast mass of what the Christians would call the unchurched, and of course the little inner circle of the Sangha, with a third order just in between of people who have got one foot firmly in the secular world, secular life, lay life, and the other equally firmly within Buddhism, inside the Vihara. I think we can say, I think it's a not unreasonable prediction, that for quite a few years, if not generations to come, the Buddhist monastic order in this country will be very, very small. Now, that isn't altogether a disadvantage, provided, of course, the calibre is sufficiently high. And it is, of course, important that those monks whom one does have shouldn't have to spend their time doing things which the lay person, the dedicated, committed lay person, can do just as well. For instance, to give an example which some of you may know about, this question of, say, lectures to outside groups. Here at the Vihara we get so many inquiries, so many invitations to give a lecture, to give a talk, sometimes 10 minutes, sometimes 15, sometimes a whole hour, on Buddhism to some school or socialist group or conservative association. They just want one talk on Buddhism. Now, obviously this is the sort of engagement with which the lay person, the dedicated lay Buddhist, the member of our third order, can very, very well cope. Sometimes he can cope better than a monk, because when a monk turns up, sometimes people are a little surprised, and they wonder, well, why is he wearing a yellow robe, and how is it that he comes to be living in a monastery? But if they find that the Buddhist is someone who looks like themselves, if he's wearing an ordinary suit, or if she's wearing an ordinary dress, they look quite normal, well, people are sometimes a little more receptive, at least at first. This counts very much. So there is a great deal of work of this sort which lay people, lay Buddhists, fully integrated into the movement, can do, freeing, of course, the monks for other work, either their own meditation and study, or freeing them to be the teachers of the teachers who are going out and doing all the infiltration. So these were just a few of the thoughts which occurred to me in connection with the Bishop of Woolwich's third chapter on a theology for the lay people, or the laity.